The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
So this is the final hooter. We are the podcast of loverugbyleague.com. My name's Dave Parkinson, joined by Adrian Jackson, of course. And I'm pushing a few buttons.
I am tonight. I'm letting you push the buttons for a change. So, I've been sitting there for about 11 years doing this podcast with you. So you thought, you know what? I thought, you know, I'm going to put my feet up for a change.
Yeah, although it's usually me that does all the editing of it. Listen, so I edit out your mistakes.
Listen, right, if Anthony Gelling can request 2 weeks off at Widnes, I'm having a night off, pushing the buttons for the final hooter on loverugbyleague.com. Thanks very much, Radio General, by the way, for letting us use the studio.
Yeah, it makes us sound a lot better than we actually are, I think.
But without a doubt, yeah.
So, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Snooker, maybe.
There's one big story.
Dominoes.
One big story.
Oh, we're talking rugby league, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
What's
yeah.
That,
I mean,
man?
If you want, I can talk rugby union.
No,
I do a bit of that as well.
We did that last time, leave it.
All right, okay. So, rugby league, there's one big story. It involves Wigan rugby league, doesn't it?
It does.
And the fact that Sean Edwards, is he coming, is he not?
Well, Ian Lenigan said there was a handshake, a gentleman's agreement, and since then we've had nothing other than mixed messages from Mr. Edwards saying he might not come now. So, should we get the latest and see what's happening actually with a man who knows everything about rugby league in Wigan? Let's say hi to Phil Wilkinson, who's the rugby league expert at the Wigan Post. Hi, Phil.
Hiya.
Thank you very much for joining us on the final hooter. We're on about the big saga. It's like a soap opera, isn't it, at Wigan at the moment? With Sean Edwards, what's the latest on what on earth is going on?
Never a dull day covering Wigan, mate. I've got to tell you, never has been, and I don't think there ever will be. I mean, let's have it right. From the very outset, we all thought it was a little strange, didn't we? There's probably a reason that clubs don't appoint successive successors at the same time, and this may well be it. You know, we thought actually the reason would be in case, you know, Adrian Lamb was an overwhelming success. What happens then? You know, the dynamics just seems a little out of what would happen to it. But of course, you know, we've had this instead where, you know, as Wigan was struggling at the start of the season, Sean Edwards' stock has soared with the Six Nations and the offers have been coming in and it looks like he's had his head turned by these offers. I mean, I honestly can't see him taking over at Wigan next year. I know Wigan have issued that statement last Friday. They've made it perfectly clear. They've left the door open to him. Ian Lenigan says that he understands where he's at. He'll give him more time to decide what he wants to do. But you speak to many Wigan fans and they say, let's cut the ties now. You know, we're not being second best. If he's not committed to the cause, let's just end this now and look for a new coach for 2020.
I think the surprising thing from our point of view, looking from the outside, is the fact that it was agreed via a gentleman's agreement, a handshake, and you're thinking, why wasn't it signed in writing?
Yeah, that was the most startling thing about Ian Lenigan's statement on Friday, for me. I mean, he said that it was a handshake deal, and he's conducted business like this on many occasions. Look, I'll take his word for it. He's a successful businessman, and if he does that, then fair enough. But I was taken aback by that, I must admit. I guess that you would think that, you know, with it being Sean Edwards, with this being Wigan, I can't think of anyone in history who's spilled more blood for this club. So if Sean Edwards gets up in a press conference in August and says, yeah, I've agreed, I'm taking over in 2020, you take his word for it. You know, I guess you would expect some degree of loyalty, especially when it's such a public appointment like that.
I know.
But the bit which, look, if Wigan come out of this looking a bit naive and amateur, then they've certainly acted with integrity. They've not betrayed anyone. And as Ian Lenigan said in that statement, he did say, agreed, you know, a contract signed or not, they would never have stood in Sean's way if he'd had a U-turn, if he wanted to stay in rugby union. So it was probably unnecessary of him to come out and say, I've not got a written contract, I'm a free agent, I'll consider all offers. It was probably unnecessary of him to do that. And I think if it had been handled in a different way by him, I think he could probably, in fact, I'm pretty sure he could have decided not to come to Wigan, decided to go into rugby union, but still been held in high regard, and people would have just, you know, kind of understood his reasons and wished him all the best. Instead, we've been left with this mess now, where Ian Lenigan's giving him all the time in the world to decide what he wants to do, and the Wigan fans are just being fed up, but getting fed up with it, to be honest.
It's a really odd situation, really, isn't it, Phil? I mean, I'm sort of looking at it and thinking, this normally happens at least one club a year regarding one of the signings where somebody blurts something out and the paperwork isn't done at the time when you'd expect. But this just doesn't happen at Wigan, does it?
No, and for them to have announced it in August and said that it's been signed, I mean, you're absolutely right. Wigan, generally go the other way, don't they? I mean, for example, look, we've got George Williams. We all but pretty know he's going to Canberra, and nobody's saying anything about it. You know, the chairman won't comment on it. George Williams is being shielded from the media, so you can't ask him about it. But everybody knows his deal is happening, and it was the same with John Bateman. And if you remember with John Bateman last year, Canberra, even having denied that they were interested in him, when they announced his signing, they even admitted in the statement that they'd kept it under wraps for several months.
They did, didn't they? Yeah,
yeah, and it's commonplace for this. You know, Ryan Sutton and go further back to the Lee Mossops and the Sam Tompkins when they departed. You know, it was like a widely held secret. You know, widely known secret. And it's like, who are you fooling? And yet with this one, it seemed to have gone the other way, where the deal wasn't nailed down, wasn't tied in, and Wigan have announced in August that he was signed. And Sean Edwards, let's have it right, he posed in those pictures with Wigan Warriors polo shirt on and appeared on those Sky Sports interviews talking about his ambitions and his hopes for as a Wigan coach. But he it looks to me like his head turned and he's decided to backflip.
If that's the case, Phil, and you mentioned you've never known anyone to spill so much blood for the Wigan cause. He's a legend within the town. That's surely going to tarnish his reputation, isn't it?
A lot of people have asked me this question. And look, it's your own personal opinion, isn't it, on whether it's tarnished his reputation. It's not like it's a matter of fact. And let's have it right, time is always a big healer. So, you know, what you might think and what the diehard fan might think tomorrow, he might think different in 12 months' time, in 2 years' time. So we'll have to just wait and see. I'm not convinced it will ruin his reputation. I've even got colleagues who will say this has just ruined his legacy. No, not for me. He did far more than that. Look, let's have it right. He could have handled this completely in a different way. He could have done this a lot better than he has done. But it's bruised it for the time being, but whether long-term it's, you know, tarnished to any degree his legacy as a player is, we'll just have to wait and see.
Where would that leave the club if that is the case, then? Obviously, he's been looking for another coach, but what options would be available after that?
Yeah, I know. I honestly think the number one option would be to try and retain Adrian Lamb. I know he's not had the brightest start to his Wigan tenure, but he's impressed the players. He's impressed everybody at Wigan. I've not heard a negative word, even as a slight dig behind it about him. But more importantly than that, I think it's the fact that they just need a calming influence. You know, it would be unsettling again to bring in another coach. We've seen how hard it's been at the start of this season with a new coach coming in with his own ideas, his own way of playing, and how hard it's been for Wigan to adapt to that. I think it would be unsettling again if they brought in somebody else with a whole host of different ideas. And so I think Lamb would be the number one choice. And that would bring also the other benefits, because however you look at this, whoever comes in and coaches Wigan, it's going to be a big year for 2020. If Williams goes, which we think he will, if O'Loughlin retires, which we think he may, if Luluai retires too, which he probably will, they are three massive figures that they're going to have to replace. So by giving the job, I'm speaking hypothetically here, I don't know if he wants it, but by giving that job to Lamb, it allows him to start addressing those issues now, start putting in successor plans, start looking at recruitment and areas like that with a coach who is already in place. So that would be the main benefit for trying to talk him on. Yeah, trying to talk him into staying on for 2020.
Well, I was going to say, I suppose he will be the obvious choice. He knows Wigan, he's played there, he knows the club, he knows the town. He'll have first-hand experience and knowledge of what players put in place for them guys who you feel are going to retire and you need to replace him with.
Well, what, with Adrian?
Yeah.
If he stays on. Yeah, exactly right. You know, and with Thomas and O'Loughlin, both of them have it written in their contracts, but they move on to the coaching staff when they retire. So we're going to have to start looking at ways that they can free up opportunities and promote from within. So it wouldn't even surprise me if I'm just stayed on for a year or two. Wigan think really highly of the current assistant coach, John Winder. but don't yet think he's a high head coach material. So that 1 year or two more years may just give him that time to develop as a coach to succeed. And then, you know, when everybody else steps up a notch, it then creates those openings at the bottom end for the likes of O'Loughlin and Lula Wise to join the staff.
It's a fascinating picture from the outside looking in, Phil.
Believe me, it is. When you're very close to it, it's fascinating too. It's incredible. It's bizarre.
You've obviously been following Wigan for many years, and how do you rate this start at the moment? Because it's been a slow start to the season, but they seem to have turned it round. Or does one swallow not make a summer?
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, it was absolutely incredible on Sunday, because we went the Salford game on with that statistic that if he lost that game, it would be the worst start to a season since 1899.
Wow.
Wigan ended up winning. It was a fun game. It really was. One of those ones which should have been on TV. Free scoring, seesawing. And Wigan ended up winning that game. He won by, you know, scored 30 points, scored some lovely tries against the side, which had been playing pretty well. And all of a sudden, Wigan are 4 points from fourth with a game in hand on Salford, who were in fourth. So it just sums up for me just how early days these are. It was never, people said it had echoes of 05 and 06, you know, with the Millwood era and when Brian Noble took over. It didn't for me, because in all of the games, like, you know, they played pretty well against Warrington, they played pretty well against St Helens, even against the Roosters. And the three which were the surprise defeats, you know, Huddersfield, Hull, Golden Point, London, I think they were one score in it all the way, you know. So it didn't feel like they were a million miles off. As depressing as it was, and of course as miserable as it was, with every single week you seem to be losing in there and you're occupying one of those bottom spots.
It could be worse, couldn't it, Phil? We could be talking Leeds.
Well, they played that extra game too and have got the two less points. But look, you know, this whole thing about Sean Edwards, we just mentioned Williams then. We've had the whole salary cap saga, the appeal against that. You know, it's been, it's had its distractions for Adrian Lamb and for the players. And if you remember last year when Sean Wayne announced he was leaving, do you remember Wigan's form just nosedived, didn't
it? It did, for about four weeks, didn't it?
It is. And so it's dead easy to say, look, it's dead easy for the players to say it doesn't affect us. But I can't believe that it doesn't. I really, even if the hand on heart believe it doesn't, I think it would have some kind of impact. And you know, the evidence was there last year when Wayne announced his departure, and I think that's been the case this season with all of these off-field distractions. And to be honest, I've almost felt a little sorry for Adrian Lamb, because he's working against that backdrop of what Sean Edwards is doing, and people are asking him what his intentions are for 2020 when of course all they're trying to do is get the 2 points on the board.
Which is all it's about, isn't it? So yeah, I totally agree with the fact that it's got to be off-putting, but have the club announced when they want all this done and dusted? Have they given Sean Edwards a deadline to make his decision?
No, and so that's the annoying thing here. You know, Sean Edwards has gone on holiday, but still have time to give a nice big interview to the Sunday Times, which, by the way, wasn't it funny that the Sunday Times dismissed the whole Wigan link by saying there was talk of him joining Wigan? There wasn't just talk of him joining Wigan. He was pictured in a Wigan shirt at a press conference in Wigan.
Yes.
Lenigan's... This is a thing that has annoyed fans. Look, Ian Lenigan obviously wants Sean Edwards on board. I've never... In knowing him for 11 years, I've never known him as excited as that press conference in August. He clearly wants Sean Edwards on board. And he said he's going to give him time, but at the same time, he wants this sorted out as quickly as possible so we can, you know, bring it to some resolution. There's no time for him, though. And you know, Sean Edwards has shown throughout all of this, he can do things which you probably just don't expect, you know, statements and comments and interviews which people just don't predict. So whether we get an answer this week, we just don't know. I mean, thankfully, from Wigan's point of view, they got that win of a weekend. So they can kind of, it just lifted that bit of a gloom around the place. But, you know, I mean, you're talking, you got Catalan coming on Sunday, you've got Sam Tompkins returning to the DW Stadium, and we're here talking about whether Sean Edwards will coach Wigan in 2020. They need to get this sorted as quickly as they can.
It's the only way forward, isn't it? And what a bizarre situation there is at Wigan. Thank you very much for joining us, Phil. I'm sure you'll have plenty to talk about between now and when it is sorted.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
I can't believe that they're still dillying and dallying about the whole Edwards situation. It just sounds laughable.
Yeah, we just had Phil Wilkinson there. Thanks very much to Phil Wilkinson for joining us on the show to give us the latest about what's happening with the Sean Edwards saga or soap opera. But still can't believe it. Someone with such success in business, in Ian Lenigan, has agreed a gentleman's agreement and a handshake.
It seems very naive, doesn't it? I mean, surely nobody does business like that anymore.
And if he is right with the fact that Lulai, and who else did he say then?
He said about O'Loughlin.
O'Loughlin. Yeah. That's a big gap, isn't it? The fact George Williams, according to Phil, is definitely going.
Yeah, so we know, we've got an idea that maybe next season we're going to run team two new halfbacks, a new loose forward and a new captain.
Team in transition already, aren't they?
Wow, and we're only 2 months into the season. But their form has turned round.
It has.
Albeit just in the one game. You heard sort of Phil relate to Super League there and the fact that they come up against Catalans this week. Well, last week there was wins for St Helens. We'll have a little bit more about that in a few minutes' time. Catalans defeated Leeds Rhinos. That was a tale of a hat-trick and a four-try sort of game from Fuad Yaha getting yes. four tries, three tries for Hanley. Huddersfield Giants put a load of points on Hull Kingston Rovers, which I wasn't expecting. Hull defeated London. And of course, we had that real topsy-turvy game involving Warrington, didn't we?
What a game that was against Wakefield.
It ebbed and flowed, didn't it? You ended up with like Warrington going off into a huge lead and then being pegged back and nearly losing it.
Yeah, it was only the width of a goalpost that prevented Wakefield forcing Golden Point. I'll tell you what, if it had gone to Golden Point, I think Wakefield would have won that.
You mentioned Castleford. You saw that particular game, didn't you, against St Helens? What did you make of them?
Oh, I thought St Helens were brilliant. Outstandingly good with St Helens. Castleford just never happened for them, did it? The goal forward just never happened. They lost the forward battle at home, which is very rare.
They also ended up with the coaching staff losing the cool. There was a picture of Daryl Powell walking behind his team, giving them hell for leather before half time.
He wasn't happy, Daryl Powell, was he? The normal breaks that would normally make, you know, they go with that little offload and the old link up, that just never worked for them. There were so many balls hitting the ground from loose passing from Casper. I lost count. And if it weren't for the fact they got that intercept from Michael Shenton, and he was offside, he gave himself up, didn't he? To basically say to the referee, I'm offside. But the referee just said, no, just carry on, you're onside. And so he put the ball down. If it weren't for that, they didn't even look like scoring. But St Helens were brilliant.
How good have Saints been so far this year? I mean, we all thought that they'd lose something by losing Ben Barber. Lachlan Coote's gone, and he looks like he's been playing for them for years.
Yeah, he's not the high-profile player, is he? He's not the magician like Ben Barber, but he's solid, skillful, and he really is a fan's favourite.
Let us hear what the coach Justin Holbrook had to say. He's in conversation with your mate, isn't he?
Johnny Lawless.
Justin, I suppose you're never going to get a complete performance, but I tell you what, that wasn't a million miles off.
Yeah, no, I think that was a complete performance tonight. That was, you know, fantastic from the boys. Every one of us played well tonight, and that was a pleasing thing.
I thought some of your scrambling defence, by the way, I know people are going to talk about the tries because you've ran eight in at Castleford, which takes some doing, but I thought some of your scrambling defence, I can think of one occasion in the first half when Kevin Nkwama ended up intercepted again in the corner with Greg Eden in the second half, was truly worthy of your work ethic.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I thought a few times we had to scramble in the first half, and we kept turning up for each other, and you know, to keep Cass, you know, to nil for most parts of the game was exceptional, and it was hard work, and yeah, the players deserve all the credit for that.
Your midfield combination between Farge, Lomax and Lachlan Coote adding the extras as well coming in, you must be really pleased with the way that's working.
Yeah, that's getting better every week. The, you know, the key playmakers are doing a great job in improving every week together collectively. So, you know, obviously the other guys are doing all the hard work, but they're really combining well.
Your ability to turn pressure into points, I thought that every time you got near to the Castleford Tigers line tonight, you looked like you're going to get over it.
Yeah, it was just, you know, we had a good night in that area, didn't we? We looked dangerous, and yeah, that was fantastic.
Good conditions here tonight, or better than we've had so far. We're sort of getting out of winter rugby now, aren't we? And a few little razzle-dazzle bits as well from your team tonight, which is hopefully a sign of things to come.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's, as the better conditions come, everyone will start to attack better. And I've said from round one, our attack's been good. It's just everyone's looked at our defence. But, you know, we've played in some tough conditions, as you said, and we've still looked all right with the ball. So I was confident that, yeah, over time we'll get better. And there's good signs of that tonight.
To win 42 points to 12 away at Castleford Tigers, they're not used to that happening to them here at the Mendenhall's Jungle. That's some performance. Could you have possibly expected to win that comfortably?
Oh, definitely not. No, we knew it was going to be our toughest game of the year so far tonight, and I think we prepared as best we could and delivered in that area. So, no, I wasn't expecting that scoreline, but the effort the players put in, they deserved it.
You're running really hot. It's very early in the season. Is there something to improve on in that performance? Because I'm struggling to see it myself.
Yeah, oh, it's hard to know straight after the game. But, yeah, look, I just think we want to continue on the way we're going and keep working hard and get ready for next week.
Hawkington Rovers next week. They've been beaten comfortably tonight by Huddersfield Giants, but they'll want to get back on the horse and they're never to be taken lightly, are they?
No, exactly. You know, well said, they're a hard-working side. I haven't seen, obviously, their game tonight, but they've been working hard and got a good win against Wakey last week, so they're capable of playing very well, and we'll be aware of that.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
In it matter thing, right, for years now, 24 years, is it?
Right, okay.
Right, we've been promoting ourselves as a summer sport.
Okay.
Haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, summer rugby league.
Yeah.
And one of the questions there was from Johnny Lawless, we're just getting out of winter rugby.
This is true, but it has been, hasn't it?
Yeah, madness.
Really, we should kick off later, shouldn't we? We should kick off more towards Easter. Easter weekend should be our opening
weekend.
Should
we make our podcast a summer podcast?
Well, no, because nobody would listen to us. Not until summer, anyway.
Exactly, there you go.
But we want people listening to us all the way round, don't we?
So what, we got to do it in the winter as well?
Exactly. So, yeah, stop trying to get more time off.
All right, okay.
So you are listening, of course, to the Final Hooter. This is the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson. So that was Super League. Now, that was, I'm going to get this right, round seven.
Confusing, isn't it? Because it was round seven.
Yeah.
Or was it round six?
Well.
No, round seven, because some teams will play the game where I get confused. Yeah. I don't know what we're on.
Officially, round six was the week before, so Castleford defeated Salford. Catalans went over and won at Hull Kingston Rovers. Warrington had a fantastic win over Wigan, which was just bad blood. Blimey, there was enough cards shown, wasn't there? No answer. Hull against Wakefield ended up with a resounding win for Wakefield, and then you had the Broncos getting over the top of Leeds Rhinos, and yeah, a St Helens victory over at Huddersfield.
The Broncos result was the shock result of the week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with you, because after 74 minutes, there was, well, 16 points to 8 up, weren't they, Leeds? And then Leeds just conceded two tries.
Not very often Leeds Rhinos get booed off at Headingley, but it happened after that game.
Yeah. You was at the Warrington and Wigan game. What did you think of that?
It was a good match, wasn't it? Typical Derby game. Wigan did play a lot better than what they have done, even as Phil Wilkinson did say. Warrington, for me, just about did enough to get over the winning line, and they were too good on the night.
Shall we hear from Jack Hughes?
Why not?
You caught up with him after the game.
Jack Hughes, it was a rough, tough game against Wigan, and that was the case again tonight.
It was, yeah. You know, we spoke about it, and you know, a bit more so than ever. We were expecting Wigan to come and be physical and be fired up. You know, they've been pretty embarrassed over this last few weeks, and you know, a club like that take it personal. So yeah, we expected a meet fire with fire game, and that's what it was.
The game plan for you guys certainly paid off.
It did, yeah. You know, as I've just said, you know, the game plan was, you know, partly to meet fire with fire, but play with a bit of smarts and move the ball a bit as well, which we do very well, and you know, it gets us on the front foot. So, you know, I thought we played the game plan pretty well, majority of the game, and yeah, it paid dividends in the end.
Got us to a quick fire start with the try from Jake Mamo, and you never looked back.
No, yeah, it was a good start for us. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on our start to games, and you know, I slowly feel we're getting better and better at that. It was kind of something what let us down at times last year. You know, was. You know, we're a good side and we could get ourselves back into games, but we want to be better at starting games, and you know, for six games in now, and I slowly feel we're getting better at starting to games.
What was your mood like at half time?
Mood was good. You know, we was on the front foot, and you know, I think half time, you know, came at the right time for them, really. We was really on the front foot and dominating the game the last five or six minutes, I felt. So, you know, I thought they were saved by half-time a bit. And mood was good, you know. We just spoke about concentration and sticking to the game plan for the second half.
Mentioned it was a rough, tough game. You lost Austin during that period and in that second half. And Wigan just seemed to take control for a bit.
They did, yeah. You know, that's the kind of stuff you're going to get when you play Wigan, and it's that kind of game. You're going to get knocks, and you're going to have to make changes. And yeah, Wigan started getting on top for a bit at that point. But you know, credit to the boys, they dug deep and, you know, short on character, which is what we're all about.
Got the 1 point and you got basically the winning try.
Yeah, you know, the 1 point was the comfort blanket for us. You know, the try was just, you know, the icing on the cake. So, yeah, the 1 point was something, you know, we weren't also that good at last year, and that let us in at times. So it was nice to see Dex lock one when it was needed.
Terrific atmosphere in the ground there tonight.
It was, yeah, you know, off field the club are doing really well. You know, there's a lot of people talking about the club, you know, on social media and away from the place. So, you know, credit to the club and credit to the backroom staff for what they're doing off the field.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I've got a strange question to ask you now.
Okay, I'm used to these strange questions.
Right, strange question.
Okay.
The Great Britain Tour coming up.
Great Britain Tour coming up, yes. Yeah. It's in October and November, isn't
right,
it?
Right, okay. Yeah. So we're on tour. The Great Britain Lions are back in town.
Yep.
Much to the delight of me and you and Gary Schofield.
Oh, yeah. Gary was made up, wasn't right. he, when we talked to him on the last podcast?
Now, let me get this clear. There's no internationals for England.
Not that I know of at this stage.
And there's no internationals for England Knights.
I haven't seen anything written anywhere yet.
So why have we announced the England Knights and England training squads?
I'm glad that you asked that question.
Why is it not a Great Britain training squad?
I haven't got the foggiest. You know, it is a really strange thing, isn't it, to name sort
How
of
weird.
Almost 60 players.
With no internationals to play for.
What are they going to be doing?
I don't know.
Are they meeting up?
They're meeting up once a month, aren't they?
And why? Why? What happens with the Great Britain selection? When does that get made? When are they training?
Why is it not a Great Britain training squad? That's why I'm asking the question.
Should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it would include the likes of Jackson Hastings, potentially. Mm. You know, young Lussick.
Danny Brough,
yeah. Ben Flower. Yeah, maybe guys like that. Mm. It's just really odd. I can't get my head around it, really, as to why. Now, is it because Rugby League's got this big yearning, I suppose, for the World Cup? And they're just thinking, well, let's keep a squad
That's
of players
years
together.
Years away, though.
2021.
Yeah, but the main tour at the end of this season is a Great Britain tour. Mm. So why haven't they not announced a Great Britain training squad? And we've already got 60 players named for the England Knights and England.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm glad with some of the lads that I've got called.
Yeah, up. Made up for them, yeah.
But if there's no game at the end of it, what are they training for?
I don't get it.
Right, okay. Well, we could be debating that until the cows come home. Maybe by the time we record the next podcast, it'll become a little bit clearer.
The Great Britain cows. The Jersey cows.
Well, you never know.
It could be a new team, Matt. The Jersey cows. Yeah.
Don't go suggesting that.
Listen, we've got Ottawa in the making. Possibly New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a weird email, wasn't it? The RFL were discussing the relocation of Hemel Stags.
Yeah, that's what you call a relocation.
Did Hemel Stags know about that?
I don't know. Don't know. Yeah. Right, shall we talk Championship?
Yes.
We've had two rounds of fixtures since we last sat down to do one of these poddies. And last week, there were wins for Swinton, for Toulouse, for Bradford, against Lee Centurions, which you said you was a real disappointed with. That was a coupon buster, that wasn't it?
It certainly was, yeah.
Featherstone losing out to Dewsbury Rams. Toronto running the ringers through Halifax, so they're back on form again, aren't they?
Yes.
And Widnes with another big victory, this time against Rochdale Hornets. And Sheffield Eagles defeating York.
Eagles flying high, aren't they?
They
talk
are.
About clipping the wings of York.
I like that. I see what you've done there. That's an amazing bit of talk there,
yes.
To be honest. But what happened in the round before?
What happened? Let's get our thoughts back to the week before.
The week before. Well,
week
that
before.
Saw York.
What happened?
That saw York defeat Halifax.
It did. Yeah.
It saw Sheffield come from behind to defeat Dewsbury.
They're on fire, aren't they?
They saw Lee Centurions put 46 on Rochdale Hornets. Featherstone Rovers just about defeated Swinton Lions. Toronto Wolfpack, they beat Batley Bulldogs over in Hull, which was just another strange anomaly in the fixture list as far as I'm concerned. And Widnes Vikings defeated Bradford Bulls. Now they're rejuvenated, aren't they, Widnes? They've reached this 0 points.
I like the way you rub Rochdale fans' noses in it by mentioning the fact Widnes put 50 on them.
And then mentioned Lee running 46.
Right,
well, you can't dress up a statistic when they've conceded so many points in two games, really, can you?
No.
Don't go trying to upset my relationship with Rochdale Hornets. I think I've got a really good working relationship with them. What have you made of this Widnes situation? They seem to have battened down the hatches a little bit, haven't they, since all this administration and new clubs set up?
Yeah, they seem to be more concentrating on the action on the field now, don't they? Since the word of administration entered the calendar for Widnes, and then, dare we say, liquidation was mentioned as well. New owners on board, you've got the fans committees on board as well, new investment. Managed to stay full time, which surprised me.
Surprised me as well, to be fair.
Didn't lose as many players as I thought they would have, which surprised me.
We don't know if Gellin's coming back. I mean, he's been given 2 weeks off, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
And we don't know whether he's going to come back after this game against Oldham
coming up in the Champions Cup. We'll see, won't we? But surprised on the fact they only lost 3 players, to be honest, and stayed full time. But since then, the guys have just got on with the job. There's been some, despite all that, there's some good, exciting youngsters coming through at Widnes. I'm impressed with Keenan Brand.
He seems to have really took his chance, hasn't
really
he?
Impressed with him. I've been quite impressed with him since he's been getting a regular start. And like you say, they're just putting all the off-field problems behind them and concentrating on getting the job done. And the aim was to get to 0 points as quickly as they can, and they've not lost a game since, have they?
After that Bradford game, which was a bit of a tumultuous one, wasn't it? It went from end to end to end to end after Widnes built up a decent lead in the first half. You caught up with Hep Cahill, and this is what the Widnes skipper had to say.
Hep Cahill, a real battle out there against the Bradford Bulls, but got over the winning line.
Oh, you know, we'll take the two. It wasn't pretty, but we're going to get that a lot this year. I think teams are going to come after us. And you know, last week was a bit of a learning curve, and we thought we should be scoring points early. And this week we got caught in the dogfight. You know, we're happy we got the win, but there's a lot to build on.
It's a big physical Bradford team out there though today.
Yeah, some big boys in there. They run hard. And you know, we spoke about it all week that was going to happen, but you get caught up in that fight. And you know, to be fair to them, they were unlucky. And you know, it was a good game, and we're just happy to get the win.
Got us to a quick fire start, so it must have been a bit of a shock for them to come back at you.
No, not really. It's like we know, like I said earlier, we're training full time, and teams are getting up to play against us, and we've just got to adapt and hopefully keep grinding out these wins. So, you know, we speak about it all week, and we're expecting this to happen, but we can only get better from here.
I was scared at the end. What was your thoughts on that one?
Oh, to be honest, I didn't see what happened, but you know, we'll take the 2 points. We're going to get some that go against us and some that we get, so we'll take that, and we'll just look forward to next week now.
All in all, though, on the pitch, form-wise, it's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're in a big hole, being at minus 12, and you can see the determination from the boys pulling together and working hard for each other. And you know, that's only on the back of what support we're getting from the community and from the town, and it's been amazing. And you know, it is a really big driver for the team. You can see the massive crowds that we're getting, and that's all you can hear on the field. It's good at the moment.
So there seems to be a togetherness about the whole club and the town.
Yeah, you know, it's it hasn't just brought the rugby community, it's been the whole town. It's brought them closer, and it's the least we can do is try and put our hand up and give everything we've got every week, because they definitely gave us that.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
He mentioned the support that we've had from the town of Widnes, who loved the rugby league since everything happened,
And I was at the Rochdale game covering it for local radio, and what a turnout it was from Widnes fans.
Well, it was basically 1,000 Widnes fans, wasn't it? Because they get about 700 for home crowds there at Rochdale, so 1,700 on the gate. I mean, fantastic.
That's a bumper payday for Rochdale.
It was nice to see that stand behind the sticks open, because I don't think they've opened that in years.
Oh, there's a lot of Widnes fans there, and well done to them. But there's a feel-good factor around the club at the minute, but I suppose when you're winning, that's going to happen, isn't it?
Mm. Do you think someone's going to trip him up in weeks to come?
Oh, who knows? They've got stronger teams coming forward, haven't they? You want to knock them off the perch. But going back to the Bradford game, one question. Was it a try or not?
I don't think it was a try. I think that the referees got that right.
I thought it was, you know.
You know, I just... There was definitely an obstruction on Jack Owens. I know he made a meal of it, but...
I'm going to agree with Drew Derbyshire. If there's a video referee there, I think it's a try.
But the video ref wasn't, and so Widnes get those 2 points. I don't think you can, and I don't like how some journalists decided that they'd name the official who gave the call as well. So, I mean, that was a bit of
not
a stupid
fair,
thing to do,
it?
Was it? That wasn't very fair.
Very
no,
nice on him, is it?
And, you know, especially seeing as I think he got it right.
John Kerr was fuming. He felt he got it wrong.
If he's not winning by 20 points, he's always moaning about something.
You can't say that about the legend John Kerr.
I just have done. Sorry, John. I've always enjoyed speaking to you, it would be fair to say. I think I'll be on his no Christmas card list now.
Widnes are in a big hole. You're getting yourself in a big hole. Move on.
I'm moving on. Right, let's talk League One then, pretty briefly. Because
before we talk action, can we talk about the return of Dennis Betts at Newcastle?
Of course.
Welcome back, Dennis.
It was only a short sojourn from him, wasn't it, really?
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, it's a bit from left field.
Because, if you remember, the rumour was it was going to be Sean Wayne.
Mm. He's had a big impact at Newcastle Thunder so far. They were drawing at half time in their game against Workington Town, and they lost it by 32 points to 30.
Still an impact.
Was definitely an impact. I mean, I forget that someone.
I don't think they've had much input on team affairs for that game, but I mean, because his official role is director of football, isn't it?
It is, but you'd expect.
Oh, rugby, not
surely
football.
you'd want him to be leading your sessions, though, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I guess it's going to come. I think it's going to come a lot better, to be honest, as far as Newcastle Thunder are concerned. This weekend they come up against Workington Town again in the Challenge Cup.
Oh, it's the Challenge Cup, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So that sort of. It's going to be interesting to see whether he's able to turn the tables in the space of a week. There were other wins for Hunslet, who have started this season on fire, 4 from 4. Keithley, who defeated North Wales Crusaders with a late try. Your North Wales Crusaders just slipping up at the very last minute.
Yeah.
Oldham defeated London Scholars quite handsomely, with Whitehaven defeating an improving West Wales Raiders. Now, they were losing 26-6 at half-time with West Wales Raiders, and they launched a comeback to win the second half, 12-4. Do you think that's maybe a tipping point for them?
Got to be, hasn't it?
Well, you know, we've been saying about them getting better, haven't we?
Hmm. Are they going to get that elusive victory?
Are they going to get it?
Mm. Where are we up to at the minute in the losing streak? What number are we up to?
You know what? I've not even looked at the losing streak.
You can do it for the next Final Hooter podcast.
I will.
On loveforrugby.com, can't you?
It'll be the first thing that we talk about.
While we're on about League One, interesting story coming out of Workington, the fact that Chris Sandow, you remember him? Marquee signing for Warrington 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Could be going to Workington, believe it or not.
Well, maybe he's been having a chat with Jared Sammet, because Sammet spent a couple of years up at Workington, and it wasn't the end of his career, was it?
What a signing that would be for Working.
Wow. I mean, I do think that they're getting a team that's really jam-packed with experience there, with like Safiri Firi Maimai, Oliver Wilkes, Chris Sandow, if he goes there, though. I mean, that's something for them Cumbrian fans to really look forward to.
Mr. Magic.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. Right. Challenge Cup weekend.
Yes. So, roll to Wembley, yes.
What do you reckon is going to happen? On Saturday, it all gets underway with Featherstone Rovers at home to Swinton, Thatto Heath Crusaders at home to North Wales Crusaders, a battle of the two Crusaders. What are you reckoning?
Could be an upset there, couldn't there?
There could be. I mean, they've got some really good players,
the
Thatto.
And the fact that the bonus is for Thatto Heath, it's at their pitch as well. So Anthony Sullivan's men better be up for the challenge.
That's one that's on the Our League app. All these other games happening on Sunday. It's reached round 4 stage, of course, of the Coral Challenge Cup. So it's Barrow against York City Knights, Batley Bulldogs taking on Lock Lane, Dewsbury Rams taking on West Hull, Featherstone Lions at home to Doncaster, Halifax travelling over to Hunslet, Keighley against Bradford.
The Bradford Derby.
Wow, that's your BBC fixture. That's going to be online as well.
Mm.
Oldham against Widnes Vikings being held on Bower Fold, isn't it?
Yeah, Stirling Bridge. It's been moved.
Sheffield take on Leigh Centurions. So they're going to have to come up with something if they're wanting to get through with the way that the Eagles are playing at the moment. Whitehaven take on Rochdale Hornets. And Workington Town, as we mentioned, taking on Newcastle Thunder. Right, we're going to finish this show with something a little bit different because I caught up with Danny Thomas a little bit earlier and we were chatting for another podcast that I do on the Barla website.
Go on, I'll let you plug it.
Yeah. Well, it's the Barla...
nothing wrong with self-promotion.
British Amateur Rugby League Association podcast.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
We're two episodes in. You can get them off the Barla website, so you've just got to put that in and you'll be able to find them. So we'll be hearing a little bit more from this fella, Danny Thomas. He was actually playing. He's still playing. He's 35 years old now. You might actually
recall... he's a young whippersnapper.
He is a young whippersnapper. You might actually recall that he played professionally for the likes of Batley. I'm sounding like I'm doing a Simpsons link here, don't I?
But
the interesting thing is, he's representing Jamaica.
Still
playing for Jamaica now. Wow. I can't believe it, you know. So, here is Danny Thomas.
I've been with it since it started in 2008, 2009, and obviously we just qualified last year. We're just something else. It's outstanding, and I think we're finally getting the coverage that we deserve, and you're seeing people like Jason Robinson jumping on board with it now, which is massive. It's what we need to help us going forwards, obviously, for the World Cup campaign.
Is there further plans as well, you know, to sort of develop the game in the islands, you know?
Yeah, back in Jamaica, it's they're playing at a lot of universities, a lot of club teams that play over there. They've obviously got limited sources. The bloke for that is Romeo Modriff, which is massive. He's been involved since day one, and is great for the country and is great for moving forwards. But I feel like for him to move forwards, we need to have a good crack at this World Cup and get some major sponsors in, which will help everyone there.
There's certainly that potential, isn't there? You know, I mean, there's some fine players of Jamaican heritage that are currently strutting the stuff in Super League, further up the rugby league chain.
Yeah, certainly. Well, since we've qualified, a few more names have come forward and you might have seen them. So, yeah. I'm sure by the time World Cup comes around, there's going to be even more. But yeah, it's the natural athletes out there, a lot of Jamaicans. If you look at the sprinting, what they're doing in the sprinting competitions.
Mm. And I think as well, you're in a sort of a really good place with it, aren't you? Because you can see the development. You've obviously been involved with something from the start. It's a bit of a similar sort of journey to what you've been through with Dewsbury Celtic in a way, isn't it?
It's like I've seen it when it's been at the bottom, and like at Celtic now we're starting to come to the top, and it's the same with Jamaica really. We started and we had nothing really. We started by doing sevens competitions and things like that, and obviously as years gone on we've played tests in America. We played Wales a few years ago at Bellevue and drew against them. So yeah, hopefully we can get a good game this year, end of this year, against a recognised nation, just help us going forwards even more.
And are you making yourself available for selection? Are you playing for a place?
Yeah, certainly I'm. Yeah, and they know that. Yeah, I'm going to carry on playing and put myself in shot window, and I'll always be knocking on the door. I want to play. Yeah, of course I do. I want to play in that World Cup.
Wow,
bit of reggae rugby league there, isn't there?
There is. Yeah, great bloke, by the way. I mean, he's doing a top job for Dewsbury Celtic. Never let it be said that we don't speak to people from right around the rugby league.
Jamaican Rugby League International, with a fortune.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just about us done and dusted here on the Final Hoot. I hope you've enjoyed it. Do remember, you can check out the other things that are going on loverugbyleague.com.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.